peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. Winds of change may blow your way. There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. His mercy's new for us today. There's peace in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the storm.
What do you want for Christmas? We all enjoy gifts. Gifts say a lot. They're windows into the soul because they reveal what our true desires are. Gifts tell us that we are appreciated by those who give them to us. In today's scripture, in Matthew chapter 1, Pastor Poncho on this edition of On the Level Radio will have us consider Mary and Joseph and the news of a baby. Can you imagine what it must have been running through Mary's mind? Thrilled to know that she was going to have a baby. But how would Joseph handle the news? That's what we're going to consider today on this edition of On the Level Radio as we take a look at the Christmas story from Joseph's standpoint on this edition of On the Level Radio coming up next.
There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm.
It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright.
Now with today's program of On the Level, here's Poncho.
Would you please turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 1. The book of Matthew chapter 1. I've entitled it Christmas from Joseph's Standpoint. Joseph's Standpoint. Now, Carlos went to UCLA Medical Center last week to go visit a patient. And it's been a while since I've been to UCLA Medical Center. But it is a large complex now. You can park one way and you have to take a tram to go to another place. And have you ever seen those map directories where you go and you don't even know where you're at? Or you go to the mall, and you go to the mall and you go, and there's a sign that when you get to the map and it says, you are here. You go, this is where I'm at. And that directory tells you where to go. Now, using that analogy, there are people who don't need instructions. They have an innate, God-given gift. They're never lost. From elementary school, junior high school, in marriage, in business, they don't need no instruction. They know how to navigate in life. And I admire people like that, but I'm not one of them. I need instructions. Because there's a time where how I got there, how I got where I'm at, I need to be someplace else. So here's where you are. Thank God for the directories. The directories tell you exactly what to do. I like the electronic ones, the ones you can just put a QR code, you go, pfft. And then you just follow the phone. Yes, it's cool, you just follow it. You can't get lost. But I must first consider that I am lost. I don't know where I'm at. Once I find out where I'm at, now I know where I'm going. I'm being directed where I'm going. Using that analogy, think of Joseph. Joseph. This is the husband or the fiancé of Mary. They're not married yet. In the Jewish culture, there's an English word that I have problems pronouncing it, but it's called betrothed. Did I pronounce it right? Really? Betrothed. What does that mean, betrothed? That means that they're saving their money. They're almost like living together with the exception of having physical intimacy. Now, we know from reading the Gospel of Luke, we know what order, and I'll show you that order right now, but the commandment or the announcement came to Zacharias first. And then for Zacharias, the Bible says that it went to a young girl by the name of Mary. Now, first, let's clear something up. Forgive me. Let's clear something up, okay? Now, if you ever look for Joseph, you're all going to find out nothing but old people like this guy. Why is that? Do you know why? I'll tell you why. Because in the fourth century, there was a gospel, the gospel of Joseph the carpenter. It was written in the fourth century after Jesus. And it was in the Greek language, I presume, but it has remained in the Coptic language, which is also an antiquity of the Egyptian people before the Arabic language. Well, in that book, The Carpenter's History of Joseph, the tradition embodied in the 4th century states that Joseph was a widower with children at the time he espoused Mary, a girl of 12. So that's already gross, very gross. In it, Joseph is described as a carpenter, a widow, but with a wife by the name of Sarah, and he has 6 children, and very quite old when he married the virgin, a girl of 12 years old. Sounds already wicked. The latter part of the book describes Joseph's sickness, death, and burial, and contains an eulogy spoken over him by Jesus. His death at 111 years of age is giving us a model of holy dying. His burial is according to the burial rites of the Egyptian cult of Osiris. Again, this, though, is laughable, if not unreasonable, and it has no history backup, and yet the church, the traditional historical church, absorbed this and implemented into their worship. And that's why you have pictures of Joseph. He became a patron saint of the carpenters. Now, I don't know, man. There are people who have a little statue of Joseph. And if you're selling your house, and if your house is not selling soon enough, you take the statue and you bury it upside down. And if once you sell it, you revive him from the place, and you place them in a place of honor in your next house that you move. Has anybody ever heard that? Wow, trip out. Only married. Okay, thank you. At least one. Trip out. I kid you not. I like it when people say, no way, eh? I say, wait. So they go and check it out, and they come back, hey, for real, man. I'm not here making things up. I'm just trying to bring you up to how we feel about Joseph. Joseph is not an old man. Joseph is a young man. We are told in both the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Matthew that Joseph and Mary come from the lineage of King David. They're from the tribe of Judah. And they're very, very young, probably 18, maybe 20, Joseph, and then probably Mary anywhere from 12 to 16 years old. She's a young girl. Now, if we don't get a chance to cover all this, I want to have it here for just a PowerPoint and keep it an archive. We'll read Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. I'll make a reference to Luke chapter 1, and that is the announcement of the angel to Mary. In both, here in Matthew, the angel in a dream talks to Joseph and tells Joseph in a dream, son of David. He calls him by his lineage name, son of David. And we are told that Mary, in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, that when the angel appears, he says to her, you're going to have a child, and you know the whole story. But then he adds, and this son of yours will be in taking over the king of David's kingdom that will last forever and ever and ever. A promise that was given to King David. Where's that promise given to King David? You find it in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verses 1 through 4. It's called a covenant. I'll cover more of that in a moment. A covenant. And then we'll reread Matthew 1, 18 again. Now, here's the situation. I'm giving you here in this light, I'm giving you the progress of the nativity scene. Everything's a miracle. Everything's supernatural. Everything we read about. The first supernatural event after 400 years of silence, announcement by an angel to Zechariah is in the temple. And what is the miracle? That his wife, who's over 80, 85 years old, will get pregnant. And it's not like Mary, the Holy Spirit will overshadow. It means that Zechariah, as an old man, will have to have a physical connection, if I may. And that was a miracle. And she had baby John the Baptist. And then the second announcement, 6 months later, the same angel is sent to a city called Nazareth. And there he announces to Mary that she is going to have a child. It is the next movement in Matthew 1 where Joseph considers legal divorce. This is what we're reading about. He is human. Now, ladies, if you had children before, you understand your pregnancy. I don't. Even though I'm from California, I don't know what that is. Okay? But from our experience, We didn't know that my wife was pregnant until 4 weeks later when she said she felt like little tiny bubbles in here. Something like butterflies. I feel like something inside of me. Yeah, you're pregnant. So what was the next stage of confirmation that she was pregnant? She missed her cycle, if I may just be as nice like that. And then on the 6th week, she felt fluttering. Ladies, you confirm that? So it wasn't as if Mary, the angel said, you're going to be pregnant. I'm not sure that she told Joseph immediately, hey, guess what? I'm pregnant. I think she had to wait until she really, really was pregnant. And that might have taken maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. I don't know when. But at one point or another, the Bible doesn't say that, but you can infer the human drama behind it. At one point, Mary, she's going to be married to Joseph. And at one point, she tells Joseph, Joseph, guess what, eh? I'm pregnant. Even in those days, there were Sanchos around. Now, according to the Joseph's gospel, that when Joseph and supposedly the mother of Mary named Anna, when Joseph was told that Mary was pregnant, Joseph, an old man, said, oh, how can that be? And he goes, well, there was a Roman soldier around here who was drunk. And that Roman soldier was roaming around trying to satisfy his needs. Could it be the Roman did this to her? It's a flight of fancy. The Bible doesn't say that. But I'm sure that at one point, Mary had to tell Joseph, I'm pregnant. And Joseph said, well, it wasn't me. And according to Scripture, back in the antiquity of the Old Testament, the law of Moses, anyone who did what Mary did, they will stone her to death. Now, Joseph was a little bit more civilized. In the days of Jesus, they would not stone people, but they sure wanted to take that individual that committed adultery, especially a woman, take her to City Hall, called the Gate. And they will take her to City Hall, and they will pronounce her publicly, an adulterer, an adulterer. And the whole community was bound to shame that individual. But here you see that Joseph had a moral conundrum. He was debating doing that. Why? Because the Bible says that he was a just man. What's a just man? The word just comes from the word in Latin, justino, which comes from the word justice, fair, righteous, equitable. And so he was a fine gentleman. He knew he got burned by Sancho. He knew that. But he didn't know that. By the way, forgive me. Sancho is a euphemism for someone that took your wife or your girlfriend. So Joseph knew that he was stepped on. Joseph knew that someone stepped on his pride and took his woman. He didn't know. You see, he didn't know where he was at, if I may use the analogy. He didn't know where he was at. He had to go to the directory and says, where am I at? You are here. Where do I go? He didn't know that he had a plan. Just like you and I, before we became Christians, did you know that God has a plan for your life? I didn't. Did you know that Jesus loves you? I didn't. I didn't know. There was a point in my life where I went to, again, the analogy. I went in life, and I had to prove myself and confirm myself that I'm lost. You need to tell me that I'm lost. I know I'm lost. So by the grace of God, it was not an angel in a dream. For me, it was reality, seeing other people living their Christian life and being changed. And that was proof to me. And he said, you are here. How do I get there? And he says, answer your phone. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't turn on my phone, eh? So, I'm here. Joseph is there. And after Joseph, the Bible said that Mary visits Elizabeth, a city of Judah. And Elizabeth bears her son, John the Baptist. And then, at the 8th day of his birth, circumcision ceremony. It's a ritual for baby John. It was at that moment that we shared last week that Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, his mutism ends. And all of a sudden, he's infused with the Holy Spirit and begins to prophesy. We read that. And in that prophecy in Luke, he mentions 3 kinds of people. He mentions David, the promise that he gave David, and then the covenant that he made with Abraham, and the truth that the Messiah would come through the prophets. So three characters, Abraham, David, and the prophets. So Zacharias' mutism ends, infused with the Holy Spirit. 3 months later, Mary gives birth to Christ. Now, I leave that just for reference right now. I leave that for reference. But let's read Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now, the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Again, supernatural phenomena. Verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, notice this, was very thoughtful, was mindful to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a what? In a dream. That's how God speaks to Joseph 5 times. Here in Luke 1 and Luke 2, 5 times, only to dream. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So Matthew says in verse 22, so all of this supernatural phenomena was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her first son, and he called his name Jesus. So what you see here in the name of Joseph, the name Joseph is of a Hebrew origin, meaning he increases or the Lord increases. It was first used of Jacob's first son by Rachel in hope that she would have another child. The genealogy, you see it verse 1 through verse 17. There are two genealogies, one in Luke chapter 3 and the other genealogy right here, verses 1 through 17. In both genealogies, they want to make sure that the reader in the Gospel of Luke references the genealogy of Mary. In the book of Matthew, the genealogy goes through Joseph, through David. So they're both children, descendants of King David. According to prophecy, according to 1 Chronicles chapter 17, a covenant was made to David. In that context, there in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, in the context, David is living now in opulence. He's a king of Israel. And he says to Nathan the prophet, I live in panel homes. I live in a house of cedar, meaning I live in luxury, and God dwells in a tabernacle. I'm going to build him a what? A temple and a house for him. So Nathan the prophet says, go for it. But then Nathan goes home and the Lord speaks to him and says, tell him that David cannot build the temple, for there's what in his hands? Blood in his hands. So Nathan comes and goes, sorry, buddy. But God says, no. However, your son, you thought Solomon, no. So there, capsulized there in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 11, in the panel, it says, and it shall be, when your days are fulfilled, when you must go to be with your fathers. Translation, David, when you what? When you die. That I will set up your seed after you, who will be of your sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever. You see the intentions of Joseph here. But we must understand a little bit what is taking place. Joseph knows his lineage. He knows his heritage. But he doesn't understand that now he's going to be incorporated into the work of God. Like you and I, do you think that one day when I was at Montebello Park under PCP, angel dust, it has nothing to do with angels. Do you think that one day that I was drinking there at Montebello Park doing angel dust, do you think that one day I was sitting on the bench and singing a Billy Stewart song? Sitting in the park, waiting for you. You know, one day I'm going to be a pastor, eh? Do you think that I was doing that? My God, my God. the director of life got a hold of me. You're here, homeboy. Where do you want to go? I don't know. I accepted Christ in my life. And God says, here's how you're going to get there. But how am I going to get there? I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. I'll make you a fisher of men. Come on. I was lost. Joseph is the same way. He's human. What is he thinking about? I'm thinking of getting rid of her. But I'm a good man. I don't want to ridicule. You know what that tells me? That Joseph loved his wife. He loved her. Because most of us, like, I'm trying to put myself in my place. If I had a girlfriend, I had a fiance, we're saving money, we got all the chum change for the party and the reception and the DJ and all for the photographer, the videographer, we got everything, and then she ends up being pregnant. What would I do? I don't think I'll be a justice guy. I think that I would just say, heck no. Ain't that right, Jack? I love you, but don't love you that much. Maybe, but not him. He had a love for Mary. He goes, how do I get rid of her? But I don't want to ridicule her. So he is considering her. He had no idea where he was at. All he knew, this is not good. My whole future is not ahead of me. Everything's gone. The embarrassment, the ridicule, the social stigma, the culture, the religious, the spiritual, everything is gone. So this is his dilemma. And an angel of the Lord came and spoke to him. Son of David, don't call him by name. Because the lineage came from both. Joseph came from King David. And they were engaged. So now Joseph have to deal with a moral, with a social, with a cultural and spiritual predicament. And Joseph was understandably disturbed. In spite of his station in life, he had good intentions, didn't he? And what is his intentions? Not willing to shame Mary publicly. He was resolved to divorce her quietly. Joseph decided to break the engagement quietly, not wanting to expose her publicly to shame and not wanting to disgrace her publicly. Now, also a notice. Joseph, God never spoke to him per se. God spoke to him through dreams. Now, it doesn't mean that God speaks to you now in dreams. It's because he spoke to Joseph. God speaks to us through his word. But sometimes dreams are so real that sometimes we change. I've had dreams that caused me to change behavior. I had dreams that caused me to alert myself. I had nightmares. I had nightmares where I would wake up and I'm thinking, oh, thank God it was a nightmare. You ever been there? One time I had a dream that I was bald. I go, oh, man. And I was. But I don't rely on the dreams. But the Bible says that God spoke to him in a dream, right here, in a dream. He understood it, got it, capiche. And then the Bible says, in another dream, Herod is after you. In another dream, go to Egypt. In another dream, in Egypt, now you can go back home. When he got home, the angel, another dream, but says, don't go to Galilee. Don't go to Judah instead. Go to Nazareth. Five times, God spoke to Joseph in a dream. Joseph takes that dream to himself. And he understands now his lineage. He is from the tribe of Judah, from the lineage of King David.
Well, today on The Level, Pastor Pancho has been teaching us in the Gospel of Matthew, as we've been looking at the Christmas nativity, the Christmas story, from Joseph's standpoint in Matthew chapter 1. We trust that you've come away with encouragement and insight on today's program of On the Level.
There's a number of ways to connect with us and stay up to date with news and information. The first way is by going to our official website, thearkmontebello.com. That's thearkmontebello.com. If you're on the go, you can also get our mobile app, the Ark app, on our official website. The download for the ARC app is available at iTunes App Store, Google Play, and the Amazon App Store. Take OTL with you on the go. You can also follow us on our social media venues like Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by using the keyword of those platforms at The Ark Montebello. Again, that keyword is at The Ark Montebello. And once again, to contact us and learn more about us, simply go to our official website at thearkmontebello.com. And then please make it a point to join us for our next program of On the Level with Pastor Poncho Juarez.
There's peace in the middle of the storm. Peace in the middle of the storm.
It's gonna be alright. 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 It's gonna be alright.
Today's program of On the Level is brought to you by the Ark Montebello in California.